As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses.
Season 19,
Episode 9.
This is Writing Excuses, Rituals, Rites, and Traditions.
15 minutes long.
Because you're in a hurry.
And we're not that smart.
I'm Erin.
I'm Dongwon.
I'm Fonda.
I'm Mahatab.
And we are going to talk today about tradition. We're going to be talking about what happens when you take beliefs in a world and make them tangible by turning them into practices. This happens in our real world, and it often happens in our fiction. And I'm wondering, how do y'all do that? Have you done it? Are you interested in doing it? How do you tackle it?
You know, absolutely. I think it is definitely a very important, I would say, a point for world building, because that is how people, like, first of all, you know, when you develop rites or any kind of rituals, which is, and I'm talking about experience, which is what I did for my novel, Valley of the Rats, I built up these traditions and these rites that the people in the village go through. And that was how I actually discovered a little bit more about my people. It's what they believe. It makes them a little bit more real. And it was an aspect of world building, which made it really interesting.
Yeah. Same. I love incorporating rituals, rites, and traditions into my world building. If you think about our own daily lives, we go through the world performing a whole series of rituals, rites, and traditions, many of which we're somewhat unconscious of, right? Everything from our day-to-day practices of, you know, holding the door open for another person, to the order in, you know, which your family members talk when they're gathered together, to big scale traditions like our holidays and, you know, our societal values and principles. Like, those all feed so much into our day-to-day lives that, to the extent that we can incorporate them into our fiction, it will make our fictional worlds that much more believable, that much more realistic, and that much more vibrant and tangible.
Yeah, one of my clients once told me, Kate Dollarhide, said that the three things you need to define a culture are births, weddings, and funerals. And if you have those three points of a person's life, you have a strong understanding of what makes that culture work. Because when I think about world building, I think less about the material, physical things that make up that world, and more about what are the rules that define the society, right? What's important to people? What are the taboos that you can't break? And so those three points of how do we treat a new life? How do we celebrate people coming together? Then how do we honor a loss? I think are the things that we really communicate to the audience. This is what our characters value. This is what they aspire to. And this is what they're afraid of.
And I'm curious, does it come that way for all of you? Like, is it something where you decide, here's the value, here's the culture, I'm going to create this tradition or ritual? Or are you like, I want to make this really cool ritual, I will figure out the culture that would make it happen. Is it always the same way for you, or one or the other?
I normally, because a lot of my stories have been set in India, I take that, you know, the culture that currently exists as the starting point, but then I will try and add an, you know, a few fantasy elements, or I'll try and switch it around a bit, go against people's norms or beliefs, and just try and make it a little bit more interesting. And, you know, because I love scary stories and horror, I will add a horror element to it as well, which is most people are not going to. But the main thing is that I want some kind of a reaction from the reader. So I will take something that's existing and then I try and tweak it. And, you know, and I think sometimes, you know what, when you take something existing and tweak it, not only are you showing differences between what people believe, but sometimes you can even show similarities between different cultures or different beliefs or tribes and different people. So it's a good way to play with things and play with the character and the world. And I love doing that.
I start with the premise of my story world, which for me involves some speculative element. And then I go through the thought exercise of what are the implications that that entails for the society and for the individuals that navigate that world. So the example of the Greenbone Saga, I had a coded East Asian society, but there's a speculative element that doesn't exist in our world, which is this magic jade that confers powers. And so an entire society has been developed around this one resource, and there's a whole culture that is grounded around the practices and traditions and beliefs surrounding this speculative element that I've introduced into the world. So I couldn't just go and wholesale take an East Asian culture and then transplant it into my story world. I had to create this this hybridized world where I was cueing certain rites and rituals and traditions that readers would pick up on as being East Asian in origin, but then just weaving it together with my own imagination based around what kind of world I wanted to create around the speculative element. And the more that you can get down to that micro level of even things like the idioms, the sayings that people have, the day-to-day you know, interactions that they have around the speculative element and the rich religious aspects, the spiritual aspects, the sort of social aspects. Hopefully, if I've done my job right, it will feel like a very grounded place that's been built from sort of starting principles.
I feel like you've hit on two really, really exciting things. One is, I think, a question people often have when they're working from something that is real. You know, they're working from a real culture is, you know, what can you take and what can you not take? This is something that I've thought about. I've used rituals that come from basically conjure, like folk magic, that come from like a Black American folk magic tradition. And I don't want to depict closed practices, which are basically practices only meant, rituals and rites that are only meant to be done by the group themselves. If you're not in the group, like, don't do it, and you'll know if you are. And I think, number one, I don't want to be disrespectful. Number two, I actually don't want a bunch of folk magic practitioners mad at me. They will, like, you know, that's not a good group to have on your bad side. And so I think that is something that I thought about, is what is the essence of what's going to? And I think that's what you're talking about. What is the core value that is underlies that tradition? What is the thing that that tradition is meant to do? Or what was it originally developed to do? And then how can I develop it in a different way? Mm-hmm. What if this same objective was expressed differently? What if it had a different practice, but the same underlying goal? And so I think a lot about that in like trying to avoid doing things that just seem like I'm kind of using somebody else's close practices, or as I like to say it sometimes, dipping my quill in somebody's blood, which is not a good thing unless that's what your story is about.
That is such an evocative image. Yeah. I love that.
I think one thing that we must remember whenever you're writing something like this is be respectful. Like, make sure that if, you know, one, there is no misappropriation of someone else's traditions or practices. Use your own something that you have, but whatever you change it into, whatever you tweak it into, make sure that it's respectful. if there is a fantasy element or a speculative element to it, that's fine. But, you know, try to make sure that you're not offending anyone by just making it so egregious that it's like, it's wow, but it's really, really bad. So yeah, just respect. Keep that in mind.
I think one of the things that can really help there is, you know, especially in fiction, we're seeing these rites and rituals and traditions through an individual's perspective. And individuals have an imperfect understanding of the traditions that they're embedded in, right? Nobody fully understands why it is that we do this ritual on this day or why we honor this tradition in this way. And so having a character that is resistant to it or doesn't quite understand it or is trying to understand it, I think are great ways to build a little bit of a buffer between, you know, the culture that you are referencing, that blood that you're dipping your quill in, and what's actually on the page. When you ground it in someone's specific experience, I think that does a lot to add that texture, add that subjectivity that makes it feel less like you're just picking something up wholesale from someone else's culture, even from your own culture, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so just remember that as people are experiencing all these things that we're talking about, you're writing it through characters. You're writing through individuals embedded in that culture. And I don't know, my experience is a lot of like trying to understand how my culture works, both as an American and, you know, coming with my parents coming from Korea. There's like all these different things that I'm trying to puzzle out all the time and try to get them to fit together. And so I think letting that be felt in how your characters experience these moments can be a really thrilling way to go about it.
One of the things I love about incorporating rituals, rites, and traditions in fiction, in world building, is that they do so much heavy lifting for you. You don't need to have pages of exposition when you can show your characters living their day-to-day lives and going through the traditions of their society. It just provides this natural in where you can very seamlessly include the exposition that you need to. For example, if I was to write a story set in the United States of America and it was for an extraterrestrial audience, rather than explaining the origin of this country and how it came to be and et cetera, I could have my characters celebrate the 4th of July. There's an automatic in for me to, through the traditions of the society, give a bit of background on where the origins of the society and how people celebrate it. And so think about that when you are doing your world building, is can you have as much as possible these grounded day-to-day experiences of your characters that give you this automatic in where you don't have to make an awkward cut to explain something about your world.
Which is a perfect time for a tradition of our own, which is to pause so that we can have our little break. And so traditionally, this would be the time for the thing of the week.
Hey, writers, are you thinking about learning a new language? I think exploring the world, experiencing other cultures, and being able to communicate with people outside your everyday experience lets you create richer, better stories. A great way to do that is with Rosetta Stone, a trusted expert for over 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. They use an immersive technique which leads to fast language acquisition. It's an intuitive process that helps you really learn to speak, listen, and most of all, think in the language you're trying to learn. They also feature true accent speech recognition technology that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's like having a voice coach in your home. Learn at home or on the go with a desktop and mobile app that let you download and access lessons even when you're offline. And it's an amazing value. A lifetime membership gives you access to all 25 languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, and, of course, Korean. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Writing Excuses listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Making your mental health a priority is always a challenge. And I think it's easy to not prioritize it, especially when you're trying to figure out how to write a book. I think we have some deep cultural idea that artists should be tortured and depressed to make their best work. But in my experience, struggling to find clarity and motivation will hurt your process a lot more than help it. In my own life, therapy has been essential to figuring out how to navigate an industry seemingly designed to give all of us anxiety. Being able to talk to an expert can help you set better boundaries, find a balance between the demands of your work and your art, and navigate the complexities of being a published writer. That said, finding a therapist is never easy, especially if you're not in a major city like I am. That's where a service like BetterHelp can be of use to help you start the process while you figure out what your needs are for your mental health journey. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/WX today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, .com/WX.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Our thing of the week is a debut fantasy novel called Shanghai Immortal by A.Y. Chow. It is a very action-packed, funny book that takes place in a Chinese underworld that resembles 1920s Shanghai. And I especially recommend the audiobook that was narrated by Maymay McLeod. The reason why I've chosen this as the book of the week is because it is a great example of how one author took rituals, rites, and traditions from our own world and shaped it for a fantasy world. For example, in our world, in Chinese tradition, there is the ritual of burning offerings for ancestors. And in Shanghai Immortal, some of these offerings show up in the underworld in very unexpected ways. So like the lucky root Joss roosters that get burned in our world end up just overpopulating the underworld, and there are roosters running amok everywhere, and it is a disaster. Shanghai Immortal by A.Y. Chow.
Now that we're back from the break, I'm going to break from tradition a little bit. And actually, we're going to do a quick wrap-up section because we are on a ship right now, and they are telling us that they want this room for secret rituals of their own. So if we can go down, starting from Dongwon, what is one thing that if you wish people knew when they were writing rites or rituals or traditions, one takeaway, what would it be?
You stumped me. I think the thing that I wish people would really bring to it is really showing how communities come together. I think these are the opportunities to make your characters feel embedded in a specific place and a specific group of people. Oftentimes, when we see these scenes, it feels very individualistic. We're so focused on that person's emotional experience going through it. But a thing that I often feel is missing in stories is a greater sense of a wider cast of characters, even if we're not seeing them all as individual POVs. That feeling of community, that feeling of connection, I think these ritual moments are such an ideal place to get that in. And oftentimes, people can be very focused on the isolating experience of the character in those moments.
I would say that remember that at its core, rituals, rites, and traditions reflect how people relate to the world, to the community, and to each other. So when you incorporate them into your fiction, they are an incredible opportunity to not just world build on a macro level, but also on a micro level, and weave in really tangible details like food. Food is a part of so many of our rites and rituals and traditions. Dress. Is there special dress associated with certain occasions and traditions in your society? Money, entertainment. So many of your world building blocks can be put together through the lens of the rites, rituals, and traditions of your fictional world.
What I would say is try, and the first time that you're writing it, you may not know how many or what kinds of rites or rituals or traditions you want to. But I think during the revision period is when you really need to figure out if you have too many strands, too many things going on, how you can roll a couple of things into one another and deepen your plot and deepen some of the things that you put in there rather than widen it. And just give it some, like I would say, during the revision process, go for depth and really work those traditions out or rituals out or whatever it is that you want to work on, but narrow them down and just really work them out. I hope I'm making myself clear.
You are. And what I would say is to remember that rituals and traditions are not just things that other people have. I think sometimes we can think of rituals as that is a different culture has this ritual or tradition, but I'm just doing things because I am. But there are so many traditions that we have, like holding the door open or moving to the other side of the elevator or even blowing out the candles on a birthday cake is a ritual that exists in birthday celebrations in America that may not exist everywhere. And with that, I have the homework for you, which is to pick a ritual or tradition that you are accustomed to or familiar with and make it the center of a fictional scene. You can change its meaning, you can change its impact, but keep the actual action of the ritual or tradition the same.
This has been Writing Excuses. You're out of excuses. Now go write.
Hey, writer. Have you sold a short story or finished your first novel? Let us know. We love hearing about how you've applied the stuff we've been talking about to craft your own success stories. Use the hashtag WXSuccess on social media or drop us a line at success@writingexcuses.com.
Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. For this episode, your hosts were Mary Robinette Kowal, Dong Wan Song, Aaron Roberts, and Howard Taylor. This episode was engineered by Marshall Carr Jr., mastered by Alex Jackson, and produced by Emma Reynolds. For more information, visit writingexcuses.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.